students. So as you can see the slide on this, so we would like to kind of share some excitement on the journey which is called ASSET. And I would have seen on the posters and elsewhere that it has been advertised as 500th ASSET colloquium and so on. So for those of you who kind of probably don't know how all these things happened, they dates back to February 18th, 1993, when Professor Udgaonkar, who was Group Committee 5 chairperson, unfortunately recently passed away. The idea of having a colloquium to kind of discuss for the academic discussions on the development of techniques and instrumentation and specific domains was actually started 1983. So that's how all it actually began. And starting from, so that is actually like,
what's the date of the letter?
The thing happened 18th. Oh, this, no, this actually I picked up from, I'll tell you in a minute. Actual ASSET colloquia, that time it was called Instrumentation and Electronics, IAE colloquia, actually started sometime in March 1983, so that's almost exactly 32 years ago. And you actually see the three names here, Sashi Damle and Dinesh Sharma and Apte P.R. Apte, and these are the people initially who spearheaded this program. And as I was mentioning, actually I picked up these pages from the so-called first volume of IAE talks, which happened between 1983 and 84, and they were actually edited by these three people. And they were also foreword actually written by then director B.V. Srikantan, who actually talked about, I recall, the colloquia which I myself gave on topics like applications of, he calls milli microsecond pulse technique and so on, skill and scale of cosmic ray experiments and things like that. So, that is the kind of legacy that ASSET carries forward with it. And the initial talks, they're very, very interesting. Some of them I feel like repeating them because they're still very relevant even today's instrumentation. So, I can't stop showing this particular picture. So, the real people behind the ASSET, okay, all the way starting from Professor Udgaonkar, Damle, Sharma, Apte, Narkarajan, Vahia, Grover, Krishnan, Rasike, Vaishnav, and some of these pictures are all here. I'm sorry if I missed some names. So I'm not sure the date really, but I think it has come up in during 83-84. So then thereafter, of course, somewhere down the lane, the name has changed from IAE to ASSET, which stands for Advances in Science, Engineering, Technology. So this is a beautiful logo made by Sukant. It has, of course, its own web page now, thanks to Piyush Verma and Mr. Shinde, who runs this very nicely all these years. And yes, it has a face and it has a Facebook, and that's what you see, and this is the talk today. And thanks to, again, several colleagues in Institute, all the ASSET talks, I hope it's also happening right now, all the ASSET talks are actually podcasted, and this is what is today. And some of those, during Baba Centenary program, which ran for 2 years, we had organized roughly one talk for every month, and you know, two years of celebration, we have 24 talks, and you can actually see the names. I think it's fantastic. There are many Nobel laureates, FRS, all the, you see Manjul Bhargava, Joshi, Som Mittal, Suresh, Jar Sudarshan, Sam Pitroda, Ramswamy, Ramchandran, Srikantan, Valams, and Goyal, Mashelkar, Chidambaram, Brahmachari, all this week. So I think it was a nice program. Also thanks to Andrila and her colleagues, they have brought out a nice archives poster around that time. And we actually celebrated 30 years of ASSET a couple of years back. And many of our colleagues spoke on various experimental developments in their own sphere, and I think it ran excellently whole day in auditorium. And as I said, this 500 is not from day one, of course. I don't have, we didn't have the information from the earlier period, but since 2002 January, there's 500 numbers. Of course, the speakers include many luminaries, and every year, every year when Padma Shri's or Padma Bhushan's announced, I always see how many of them are on a set. I see always some 4 or 5 people. And important thing is all these presentations, material, video recordings, of most of them are actually archived. And many talks, in fact, led to further fruitful engagement and collaborations within TIFR. There are many success stories on kind of that. So with that, I, again, on behalf of Asset, acknowledge various people. They have been responsible for successful running of the thing. And coming back to today's talk by Dr. Iswar Reddy. So firstly, on behalf of Asset, I really thank Professor Iswar Reddy to talk on this very important day in the Asset history. He's going to talk, of course, on another mega science project, 30-meter telescope and new window to the universe. Dr. Reddy did his MSc from Sri Venkateshwara University and PhD from Indian Institute of Astrophysics in Bengaluru. Thereafter, he moved to the United States and spent several years there, and he is basically interested in understanding the nucleosynthesis aspects in stars and formation and evolution scenarios of galaxy using chemical tagging of stars in the solar neighborhood. In 2003, he came back to IAA and is a regular faculty member. Currently, he is an associate professor at IAA. For the past 6 years, he has been the national coordinator of for India TMT efforts, and later since 2012 he is now program director of India TMT collaboration coordination center set up jointly by DST and DAE at IAE. So before I invite him to give his asset colloquium, I'd like to invite on behalf of the institute and also the asset colloquium in particular with a bouquet of flowers.
It is a great honor to be in this forum, and I thank Dr. Satyanarayana and appreciate him, and of course TIFR for the Department of Astronomy and Astrophysics scheduling this India TMT talk at this prestigious forum. And of course, this is one of those milestone talks. That's what he said. When in the beginning I got a bit scared about it, and then it's okay. This is, since India TMT now got approved, and then DAE is a major contributor to this project, and since the TFR is part of DAE, and then so that fits the bill. So I just take you very rapidly and how we moved to the TMT project in the beginning. So this is a saga of almost six and 7 years saga we had. And then I will take you to the TMT project itself and a little bit of what we can do science with that, and then other aspects of it I'll quickly go through. So Hanle to Hawaii, I'll just tell the story why the Hanle to Hawaii towards TMT project. So astronomy facilities in the country. So the currently what we have is all 2-meter class telescopes in the country, and that includes 2.3 meter which we built in the country some 30 years ago in 1980s. That's called Wenibaku telescope, and then later we had bought 2 other telescopes. One is HCT, this is a Himalayan Chandra telescope which is in the western Himalayas, Ladakh region. And then there is a 2-meter Ayuka telescope which is in Giravali. And then now we have 4-meter aperture telescope which is called Devasthala Optical Telescope. This is being built by Aryabhatta Research Institutes, Nainital, and that is going to be operational very soon, maybe by end of this year. And this is going to be the largest telescope in the country now. So, and now the plans for building large 8 to 10 meter class, this was there for quite a long time in India, and many attempts, a lot of people made a lot of attempts, and then for various reasons those all failed. One is lack of sites with detailed characterization. People asked where are the good sites for it, for such a large investments. And of course, because these are the things you cannot just buy somewhere else, and then you had to make on your own with the industry help and things like that. So, and of course, there are a lot of environmental issues which even we faced when we were surveying some of those sites, candidate sites on Himalayas. So this was somewhere in 2005, and then we thought of something like at least look at some of the candidate sites in India and characterize them fully, and then see what sort of telescopes one can put in those sites. And of course, if you have a good sites in India, and there were a lot of countries, they wanted to provide resources and help us. For example, South Korea is one of those countries. They were very keen, and even Canadians were very keen. So that was the reason we thought of taking up this issue, and then get very detailed site characterization that itself takes 3 to 4 years. So we started that candidate sites around Hanle in India. So this way we are doing a group of people, and we went around because we already have a site there, which we have set up 2 meter class telescope there. And then the idea behind in 2000 was to setting up this facility when Ramnath Kaushik was IAEA director was at IAEA. So developed this Indian Astronomical Observatory as a major astronomical facility in Asia, then like a 2 meter, 4 meter class, 8 meter class telescopes. But this itself took a long time actually, so a 2 meter class telescope. And then we were looking at various peaks here, looking at topology and access to those sites. And of course, wind directions. These are all preliminary aspects of it. So during this time, we were also wondering how to even, for example, what sort of telescopes, whether we need to go for monolithic single mirror telescopes or segmented mirror telescopes. If segmented mirror telescopes means it's an entirely different technology, I mean, which we didn't have much. And then if it is a monolithic single mirror, 10 meter class telescopes, and then how to take it to the site. So the access is a accessibility is a key issue because those routes are much more narrower and things like that. So I was writing to one of our friends in Texas about the site and whether they can provide some help in technologies. And then Professor David Lambert, he was one of our he's a mentor when I was in University of Texas, he said a reasonable set of GMT time. They were planning to make a giant Magellan telescope, which is 25 meter, cost about the same as the Hanle telescope. That's we were planning actually. And the time scale for completion would be no different. So this he wrote to Sriyaz Hassan, because I was writing to him quite a bit on these things. So that then Sriyaz Hassan said, maybe that's a good idea, look at this aspect of it. So, but we never thought of in India, because those are too expensive, and whether that those are going to work for us or not. So we never explored those in the beginning. So then we started looking at it, and then there were three major astronomy groups which were planning the major ground-based telescopes. One is GMT. This is some of those American universities and Australia and South Korea. And there's a 30 meter telescope, which is a consortium of a few American universities in Canada, Japan, and China. And then, of course, now India joined there. And then ELT is a mostly European telescope, European extremely large telescope, which is 40 meter. So, and plus Brazil. So these, all of them were looking for the partners, particularly because resources required for these telescopes are huge, and the communities are not like a physics community, but relatively much smaller communities compared to high energy physics people. So certainly they required human resources, required required financial resources too. So we discovered that all of them actually approached different institutes in the country. In fact, ELT sent a request to the DST directly, because they were all government bodies, so to join that project. So when we approached DST during that time, they said, they provided all these information about ELT and things like that, and why don't you look at all of these things? And then you assess, DST asked in 2008, that was meeting was held here only in DAE, when Kakutkar was the chairman. So the DST secretary and Dr. Kakutkar and these people were there. So they asked us to come up with the need for participation and with the detailed report and selection of the most suitable project. We should come up with only one project, not many, no alternatives, one project come up with. And what could be our participation and the human resources, at what level we should participate in the project. And we come up with clear strategy for all of these things. So this is the one, they had a national committee for this to review this project, and then we submitted somewhere in 2010. And then they took a fairly quick decision on this within 6 months on that report. And then they granted the observer status in the project. And we chose TMT because it provided us guaranteed in-kind participation so that the Indian community and the industry can participate from the beginning in the construction of the telescope. And of course, we get guaranteed observing time because each country has its own time allocation time. So you have your own time on the telescope and you can use for your programs. And that is not the case with the European Extremely Large Telescope, and also that is not the case for in-kind participation. All of them asked, you provide money first and then we will give you work depending on the situation and things like that. So now, of course, the TMT, the technology heritage also we looked at, and this is the only telescope which had, which this consortium built earlier, Canadians and then University of California and Caltech built two Keck telescopes which are greatly successful and produced great results. And this is going to be a scaled up version of that, but still it has a lot of challenges. So on the other hand, the GMT was, it's a completely different idea. And these are much larger segments. Each one of them might be 8.4 meter, 8.4 meter, 8.4 meter, seven. So gives you collective area equivalent to 25 meter. And these are much smaller segments. So, and this is also very similar to this, but they didn't have a heritage in the sense the Europeans earlier large telescopes were four 8.2 meter telescopes, but all of them were single monolithic ones. So, and this is the one which had direct the experience building these things. So this is one of the criteria we entered into our what is called the matrix to select. These are three I given here, but there are number of criteria we gave it. So that was the selection criteria. So these are the telescopes over the last 100 years. When you look at it, these are the ELTs. Now the current large telescopes are this one, ELTs, and the Hubble telescopes that was recently commissioned, and the South African telescope. Because these are slightly special kind of things. And these are the Keck, these are the general purpose telescopes. And now these are the three ones which are going to be operational maybe in 2020s. This is 30 meter telescope, this is the extremely European large telescope, and then this is a giant Magellan telescopes. And when you plot all of these things with time, I just got why we are having a lot of problems getting these telescopes done now. So, when you look at from here, 400 years back, from Galileo's small 4-inch telescopes to here, all the way here, and then every 40 years, the diameter of the primary mirror gets doubled. And then, if you go with this history and the prediction, and then we should be somewhere in 2040. So, the why now we have a lot of problems, maybe because society is not ready for putting the bill for this project, and also the technology is not even mature enough. So these were supposed to come 2018, all of them. Now already now 5 years got delayed, and I'm sure it may get delayed further because there are various issues, because none of them got full funding yet committed. and still issues like the cultural and environmental issues are also going on at various places. So the best bet is now that TMT may come up a bit earlier, maybe 2023-24, that's what we're looking at it, but it may go even 25 or 26. So, but still it has some court cases are going on. So, as of today, and the TMT got all the permissions to start work, and then the construction is going on right now on the mountain. So, unless something comes from American Federal Court, you stop it, then that's a different issue. But as of now, all the permissions we got. So, for us, it's a quite challenging climb in the sense, this is the world. For them, for all of these countries, it's, for them, it's a natural transition from somewhere they had here 1920s, 1930s, they had 2 meter glass telescopes, and then during this time they have 4 to 6 meter optical and infrared telescopes. In 1990s, they built almost like a dozen 8 to 10 meter glass telescopes. For them, it is a quite natural way to go. For India, this is a quite challenging because a TMT, that is a 2.3 meter, that's the only one thing we built in the country that time using our own companies and then optics and everything. So then now the current one is going to be here, 3.6 meter DOT, that is 2015. And this is going to be a big jump when you have to make many of the components here in the country. So for other partners in the world, they need, they also need a lot of technology capabilities and human and financial resources. So to build these things, that's why they require people, partners. And for India, this is a good thing because you can access to the best instead of going linear way. That takes very long time. And of course, bridging the gap immediately. And there is a lot of technology conviction within this field. And of course, this is a great opportunity. So this, we all thought through this one. So this all was included in our DPR issue, in the DPR. So these are the currently planned large telescopes and where all the major astronomy and astrophysics countries are aligned themselves to one or other projects. And American universities are both on TMT and GMT. And these blue are all the TMT partners, China, Japan, and India. These are all committed now, completely committed. And these people are all committed. And Canada is taking longer time. Hopefully by next month, we will have some decision by Canadian partners. So, and the GMT, we have South Korea and Australia and some of these partners. And ELT is this. So that's our Hanle 2 TMT, this thing. Now I'll just go through TMT overview quickly. So the TMT project is a, this is the one, this is a 30 meter diameter primary mirror, which is the main light gathering bucket, and which consists of 492 segments. And each one of them is 1.44 meter. And that gets focused here on the secondary mirror. This is the secondary mirror, which is 3.1 meter convex mirror. And that light is taken to a flat mirror here, which is a steerable flat mirror. And this is the one which takes light from light to various instruments, which are sitting on an azimuth platform, either side of this mirror. And it looks like this. This is the NASMIC platform, which sits on this. And these are various instruments are going to be sit on this too. And this is the steerable flat mirror. And this is the size of now the largest mirror in the country now. That is our 3.6 Devastel telescope, basically. So these are the platforms and other view. There are various instruments planned for this. High resolution spectrograph and multi-object spectrometer and infrared multi-object spectrometer and things like that. So this always, all the way it goes from 0.3 micron to 28 micron, both the optical and infrared. So these are some key dimensions. This is a 50 meter and this 30 meter diameter, 32 meter, and it looks that, feels that one. This is a artist renderation, and you can see that's the way it looks like. This is Char Minar. So, and TA apartments and site. This is the site which is here. So that's the Mauna Kea, which is the middle of the Pacific Ocean. This is one of the best astronomical sites in the world. So that's the India, and that's where the Beijing, one of the partners, and that's Japan, that's Canada, and California. So this is the NSF partnership. So why this site? This site is one of the best sites in the world. And this is a dormant volcanic place here. And you see most of the time it is above the clouds. So you can see the backside clouds. And one of the key parameter for choosing this site is the seeing statistic, that is the atmospheric turbulence. So it offers much more stable atmosphere compared to many places which are accessible. So throughout the year, the night time, it is sub-arc second seeing. This is one of the key parameters. We do have a Hahn layer. This is a, we can use usable light 76%. And of course, even precipitable water is less than 2 mm in Ladakh area. And much better altitude we have, which is good access. The only the major problem is the seeing. So for various reasons, that topology such that, and then because of various the atmospheric dynamics are so different, so we won't get the sub-arc second seeing, and which is a very key for adaptive optics and for other observations. So and there are various instruments planned to for the TMT project, and these are the first light three instruments which are going to come up at the time of commissioning of the project. So these are the three. One is wide field optical spectrometer, which works somewhere 0.3 to 1.1 micron, which has spectral resolution somewhere here, and you can obtain a large number of objects at a given time. So this is optical. There is a counterpart to it, infrared imaging spectrometer. So, but it works somewhere 0.8 to 2.5 micron, and there is infrared multi-slit spectrometer. So, but one of these may not come because there is a fund crunch. So, we are looking at taking out one of them, because each one of them costs quite a bit, actually 30 to 40 million. That's the cost estimated for this. And then next generation instruments planned are quite ambitious. One is high resolution spectrograph here, which works entire optical region, and which has a very good radial velocity precisions, and which gives you 50,000 to 100,000 resolution, which is one of the best for a lot of chemical tagging and things like that. And of course, planet searching and planet studies, which is another PFI. So there is mid-infrared high resolution spectrograph and near-infrared high resolution spectrograph planned. And project timeline and partners, now the entire design is over, and now we are, early construction phase is also over. Now we are entering into slow phase construction, which is, construction is happening now. But once we understand Canada's clear position, and the project takes much different phase. So in this member partners are University of California and Caltech. That money comes from, there is a foundation, Gardner Moore Foundation, which comes, that foundation gave this money to both of these institutes. That comes 25%. So they already spent quite a bit, $120 million or something. Japan is 20%, and China and then India 10%. And now currently associate partners are Canada, that is 20%, and this decision is going to be known very soon. By April 2015, we are looking at it. So this was supposed to be this month, but it got postponed for some reason. And NSF is going to be a partner in this 15%, but they may come later on, but they are already currently partner, currently contributing to various developmental work. So actually Canada spent quite an amount of funds in the project, already developing various adaptive optic systems. They spent more than $40 million. So the, now the major contribution is a drone, and which costs a single item from the from Canada, and which is estimated cost is somewhere $150 million or something. So that has to come from the government budget. So that's where we are waiting for the decision. But certainly there will be, if not 10%, 20%, there will be 10%. That's the decision which is going to be made. So a few science cases. So I don't go into science cases, which we, a lot of astronomers, they know. Given this, this is a general purpose telescope. It is not a single an experiment. This is going to be built for 50 years. And this is just a major facility, and depending on problems in hand, and the people can make instruments and then attach at the back end. So it depends on what science you wanted to do. So it's very difficult to predict now what we can do with it, but always you make some projections when you are doing it. So the two major things is, one is from this, the angular size, that's directly proportional to the size of the diameter, and of course the sensitivity. So how much signal to noise ratio you can get within those given time. So sensitivity is by a factor of 14 within the ceiling limited when you have still atmosphere. So that goes to d squared, that is a square of aperture. But in adaptive optics, that goes to d to the power of 4. That is a big catch for the larger size of the telescope in AO. So it's better than current these things. So TMT with AO. So when you are in the space, and then the plane waves looks completely parallel, but when they go through his atmosphere, they get completely distorted. And this is the one you need to take care of it. So, and because of these distortions, any images look completely blurred, and you get these all twinkling effects. So the, basically what you want is no twinkling at all. So this entire adaptive optic system is being planned by Canada, and you have a deformable mirrors at post focal plane, and the basically what you do is you have a reference star, and which is going to be fed into a deformable mirror, which is on the NASMIC platform, and that goes to all the way through the 100 kilometer atmosphere. And that is going to be modeled here. The wavefront sensors, they sense the entire, the distortions, and that is going to be fed into the entire control system here, and then that is going to be fed to the, a large number of deformable mirror here, and they move within 100 to 1000 frequency hertz. So within 3 to 10 milliseconds, approximately, few milliseconds. So this is a closed loop. So this connected image goes into science camera. So that's the basic the concept behind it. So this is one of those 4 meter class telescopes which they used AO systems. For example, you have a seeing is 0.7 arc second. That seeing is basically turbulence in the atmosphere. It measures, the lower the number, better the thing. So at 5 micron. So you don't see anything here. So it's very difficult to resolve, because there are two objects which are separated by 0.38 arc seconds. But if you use AO, and you can get diffraction limited images for the size of the telescope, for example, 4 meter telescopes, so lambda by D, so you can get that. So this is nicely separated. So these are some of these with adaptive optics. So TMT can be used over the years, from all the way from solar system to the cosmology, and because of the diffraction limited images within AO, 7 to milli arc seconds, You can monitor various moons within the solar system and surface composition of distant some of these the planets, and good temporal monitoring of atmospheric volcanic geological changes. Something, some of these things can be done, and it has also a quick response to transient unpredicted events. From one instrument to another instrument, you can just move within 5 minutes. So that is the agility which is designed to the project. So now hopefully those are going to be achieved. So of course now the one of the major problem within this century is going to be something like study of these all exosolar planets, and then whether any of these the planets harbor life or suitable for life. So the currently what we do is many of them are not accessible for these smaller telescopes, and you can't directly image them. Few of them you can image to longer exposures, but the TMT like telescopes can do quite a lot of work on these things. For example, TMT will resolve Earth-like planets at a distance of 1 AU from its parent stars within 140 PC, which forms about half the current known sample. So these are the things, some of these things one can do with this. And of course, you can look at the first star's chemistry and early nucleosynthesis. This goes to all the way something like 13 billion years back into the history of the universe. And of course, the studies can be geared toward the dark energy issues, because currently now you cannot get spectra beyond the redshift G 1.1 or 1.2. So these are the things, some of those problems people are going to look at it. And of course, there are stellar issues within the galaxy people are going to do. For example, now there is going to be a Gaia mission which is going to do a lot of work in the space, getting astrometry. So distances to these stars, many stars in the galaxies, are not known. Currently the accurate distances are available only for 100,000 stars. So that's because of the Hipparchus mission. And this is going to provide more than a billion stars, very accurate distances. And from that, and then you can construct a six-dimensional picture of all these stars. And then doing, analyzing those stars with high-resolution spectrum is going to throw a lot of information about our own galaxy and early nucleosynthesis. For example, when I just look at it, this 10 meter class telescope, for example, if you just want to reach 5 kiloparsec stars, so it takes almost like 50 hours. So now if you divide that into 14 or 15, so that's the advantage you can get. But if you go to AO, so it's going to help much more. So a lot of work can be done in the galactic center. So, and of course there are large number of dwarf spherioids currently which are not available for accessible to high resolution spectroscopy, and certainly when these telescopes are going to be online in 2020s, many of these things are going to be studied much more detailed way. So that's the basically people do science. Since these are general purpose telescopes, so a lot of things can be done. So I just covered some few, so they just sample what people are expecting to do. So who is doing what in the project? So I just go through the partners who excel in the project. And Canada is doing DOME, that's the major system to the project, and then of course the adaptive optics system and some of the instruments they are working. And USA is doing segment polishing, part of segment polishing, but they are taking a lot of civil works, and of course getting approval process, that is a very tedious process. So they do the integration at the Jet Propulsion Lab. And Japan is doing telescope structure, that's a very key component. They are doing all the blanks for 492 segments. They are supplying free issuing to all the partners. And India is doing M1 control system. I'll just come back to that in a moment. So software and segments. And China is doing tertiary mirror M3, and then segment polishing also they are doing. And they are sodium laser guide star launching system they are developing for the project. So these are telescope structures. The entire design is ready, and then which is going to go for construction in Japan. So, and of course, they are now completed some 35 segment blanks, and India is going to receive soon those blanks. These are free issued from Japan, Ohara glasses, and this is one of the dome to the project, and which is very compact for 30 meter telescope, and this is one of the best designs they got it, and the entire design is ready, and once they get money, and then they can go into the production phase, and their adaptive optic system is also ready. So, and China is doing what I said, they are doing some other polishing, and also they are M3 flat mirror, they are working on it. So, and Americans are doing a lot of civil work, and the work is going on the mountain now, so digging and grading of the site, which is going on. And I just go through now India's work share in the project quickly. India's work share is cash contribution to the project capped at 30%, that is across the partnership. Each partner has to provide that 30% cash to the project. That is a common pool for funding and infrastructure, etc. And up to 70% of all partner contributions will be made in kind. So that applies to India also. So we develop subsystems and of course human resources, and these are something brain waves and things like that. Some of our colleagues call them. So, and this is the India TMD role in the project. There are various subsystems. In the beginning when we negotiated our systems, we kept in mind that whatever know-how we got from the project, we should be able to use for our own projects within the country, 10 to 12 meter telescope based on the segmented meters. So our part is doing some 90 segments, polishing them in India. So, and the entire M1 control system that requires actuators, these are the actuators, and edge sensors. These are all part of interactive system to controlling 492 mirrors to act as a one single mirror. So that's the catch here. So, and a lot of electronics. So each mirror is attached with six sensors. So they sense relative displacement of these segments from each other, and that is going to be fed to the actuators, and then the actuators correct that so that all the 492 segments form a single mirror. And segment support assembly, which is a mechanical system, all these mirrors sit on the segment support assembly. So mirror coating is also our part. So it's not mirror coating chambers. So design and fabrication and installation is our part. And most of the control software is ours. So 80% of the software for the project is ours, and instrument development. And also now we are looking at setting up a TMT Science Center for inter-partnership so that we can develop products and then help observers and things like that, archive data and things like that. So these are the systems. This is one of those 492 units. And we provide the entire edge sensor system to the project. So these are the approximately 3,000. And these are the mirrors. And each mirror has three actuators. These are somewhere 1,500 actuators. And this entire unit is called segment support assembly. So these are the ones, all of them three. So, and each partner, whoever has taken those things, and then everybody has to do prototype and then demonstrate those technologies are available so that we can take out risks during the production. So that we have done in the last, during our observer period in the project in the last 3-4 years. And then a company called GOL Puducherry, General Optics Asia Limited. So they produced 25 pieces of this, so prototyped them. And now we got a good certification from JPL on the quality of these things. But some more R&D is going on. But certainly now they are qualified and then get into the production. So adjacent. And then actuators, we made another tour at in Bangalore, one of those companies called Aushadala Companies, and this is the one. And these are now being tested for live tests at JPL. And then recently, we had 2 weeks ago, these have been subjected to 200 years return earthquakes. So, and they successfully passed those some of those tests. This is segment support, which is one of the critical mechanical component system. Godrej is working on it. So we have given each one of each these components to two companies, so that we can mitigate risks during the production. One is people should not take as granted as far as the price concerned, or and we don't know what happens during the production. So we are trying to qualify at least two companies in India to produce these things, and so that we can check their attitude to the project, their schedules, their quality, some of these things. So SSA was given to two companies simultaneously, and then one is Aushadala company, and then another one is Godrej, and both are behind schedules by now 6 months, and we are working with them. So hopefully we learn lessons during the production and then come up with. So our ultimate goal is maybe the next month to assemble this entire segment here in India, IAE at Bangalore, and then all these pieces are now being collected there. So the major hardware, we didn't have much problem because a large number of companies are there, and somehow we can do. But mirror polishing is one of the major issues we have, because there's no company in India which can do these works. And large mirror production. So we approached LIOS, ISRO, but they do one mirror maybe in 18 months and 2 years. But what we require is one mirror in approximately 2 weeks has to come out. So there are some different technologies involved, mirror stressing technologies, and there's only one company in the world that is called Tinsley, which is mastered that technology. So that is the company which produces these segments for Keck telescope. So, and these are the entire 492 segments, and each segment, the segments are separated by 2 mm, and we are also going to have a 80. These are 82 different. Is not each one of them is not identical. So it is a 6-fold symmetry. Okay, there are 82 different types. Okay, but only 6 of them are identical. So, and as you go from here to here, these are all aspheric segments, and then asphericity of each segment changes from somewhere few microns to 292 micron. As you go outermost cell, and then it becomes more and more difficult to polish these segments. And and we are the ones, the least experienced people here across the partnership, and we are taking a long time. So what is going to happen is we are going to get most difficult set of the segments here, because the earlier ones they get the mostly the inner this thing. So that's the worry we are having now. So these are all very thin mirrors, so the 40 mm thick. So all are off-axis and aspheric ones. And we require surface roughness less than 2 nanometer RMS with no surface. So now there's only one company across the partnership. Everybody wanted to do segment policy. That's the major thing. So Japan wants, Canada wants, not Canada, China wants, India wants, and American wants. So among these now, one of this American company which did work for Keck, so they are the only one now completely qualified in producing these. So they made in the last 4 years 6 segments which reached the quality which the project requires. and now we need to get qualified at least by 2016 end of, that is not far away, so it's getting delayed because now we have to make our own plant, Oskote, which is IAEA site, one of the IAEA site we are going to make, and then now we have the having a collaboration contract not yet signed through TAO, Tinsley Company. They are going to provide technology and then training, and then we have to implement that in India so that we can produce all 92 segments in India starting somewhere beginning of 2017. But we need to qualify at least producing 3 or 4 segments by 2016. Qualification has to be done. So a lot of software we have now, the MOU with the CDAC, and then CDAC is helping the various control systems. I'll just run through quickly now. So a lot of other developmental works at various institutes happening, different labs, and then we are making control systems. These are all institutional work and not the industry. So the actuator simulators and things like that we are working on. So there are a lot of groups happening, and a lot of scientific contributions we are doing now. We have 3 postdocs within India TMT Coordination Center. They are working on various science cases and then developing catalogs for the project, things like that we are working on. And of course, a lot of people are involved in the instrumentation because this is the one which you cannot give to the companies, and all people have to work somehow these. You know, each instrument is so big, and then everybody has taken up various parts. India has taken the various parts in the this thing. So it's a very complex mechanism. They have to work through this. It's a mind-boggling something like how they have arranged these meetings among themselves. So, and of course, we earn quite a bit of credit in the project by doing all of these science-related things, and that is our great strength. So already we might have earned some like 12 crores worth of credit in the project, which gets into, that translates into our observing time later on. So partnerships say. So, and now as far as the project is concerned, so now the phase one, the approval process is over, and getting this consensus among the community was very difficult. So it took more than 3 years, and then how to do this. And now we came up with a technology demonstration, a prototype to show to the government that we can do this, and this is a guaranteed in kind. So the money is not going to go anywhere. We are going to spend in the country and develop a lot of skills. So that phase is over now. The next phase is now execution of our share of work in timely manner to the specs. That's again the big challenge, how to do. And of course, development of human resources and readiness to use the facility when they come up. So this is another very important aspect in the project. So in the beginning, when we made estimate to the project, what is the critical size to participate, and then we went through the current largest telescopes and looked at it, the demand for those telescope time. So it is almost like you have 1 hour observing time available, but there is a demand for 6 hours from the world community. So if you translate that to India, and then what we looked at it is, we require at least something like 225 to 200 active astronomers who really can put proposals at any given time. So that is the key. So we gave, this is a number we have, but we may not be having that number now, but within the next 10 years we reach that active critical number, so in the community. So that's why we came up with participation 10% level is the most optimum, based on some of the nights for a 10% partnership, which is going to give us, and how much, whatever, how many proposals can be generated for this. So, and currently, when we are doing this, we counted the number of astronomers in the country, the total, which includes telescopes, radio astronomers, everybody, because once you reach a telescope like this, 30 meter, 40 meter, so it doesn't matter which wavelength you are specialized in, but certainly you want to do a lot of science with the TMT projects. So, optical and infrared, only they are 160. But if you want to really, the active means this is the group you have to generate. So there is a shortage of 100. So now how to get that 100? That's the difficult thing. So, So we have a lot of programs started now recently. So institute have initiated various programs to attract the best talent to the field. In fact, integrated PhD program at IIT is quite successful, and now a lot of those PhD people are getting into the project. They have both technology and the astronomy backgrounds. So those guys are helping quite a bit. And of course now there is a science development teams across the partnership, and then we put them into 8 different categories of science, and we make calls for membership in the beginning of every year. So we had in January 2014, and then India 22 members. Of course, we choose them, and then they put proposals what they can do with the TMT project and things like that, and then we choose. And then out of 22 we chose, but now this year it is increased to 37, and hopefully we get around 60. That is a good number within India to have a lot of dialogue among the community, and then come up with various scenarios for the project. So towards that end, and then we have almost like now, we are planning every 6 months different themes, having both an instrument and science programs, so which is happening now. So recently we had in Nainital. So each time when you go to the different part of the country, and at least 70% of those participants are completely new. So we look at those things, and then get those university people and things like that. So we invite them. So, and also we have the partnership TMT wide program. It is called Workforce Education Public Outreach and Communication Program, which is happening. So this now recently started. So this we are using a lot of planetarium resources for this. So that younger people can take it up, this at university level and things like that. So, and the first meeting we had at IUCA on this program. So India TMT had key milestones, I'll just go through. But of course, before this also we had a lot of key milestones, but I didn't have pictures, so I'll just go through the pictures. We had in Delhi in 2013, the major partner-wide program, Ramaswamy chaired this program. A lot of government people from DAE and DST attended this meeting. This is the board meeting we had in Delhi. So that was one of the key meeting, took the decision now India could join, and as a scientific authority in the beginning. So then within 6 months, and then we joined, all the partners signed the master agreement as scientific authority, showing a keen interest in the project. So then a year later, we had cabinet approval, chaired by the Honorable Prime Minister Sri Narendra Modi. So this was funded for 1300 crores. I don't know why 1299.8 crores it comes. So I also heard some, INO also got something like that, some 0.9 or 0.98. So I don't know if it's related to tax issues, but there is some issue. So we had a groundbreaking immediately after that, 7th October 2014, and India was represented by Indian Ambassador to USA, Taranjit Singh, and now the later on after that, and then now India formally joined by DST signing the membership agreements or the financial commitments on 2nd December 2014. So that completes India's membership in the project with all the full commitments. So the members, in India we cannot plan these meetings well in advance. They gave us 3 days, and then they asked whether the partner countries can come, and then they said nobody can come because it's very difficult 3 days to getting all of these things. But the embassy people came, represented their own countries. So, and of course, this all happened because of many individual members and institutes who generously helped this project in many different ways. So these are the people. So of course, there are many other people who helped this project quite a bit. So thank you very much, and this is our project. So these are the 4 languages we have, the French and Chinese and Japanese and Indian language. So this was a calendar for American Astronomical Society in 2012. So I have some picture, a movie. So I just two minutes movie of this. So one of the partners, Japan, made a very nice movie, and then asked the partners, you can show this one to your communities. So it's very nice.
Largest sensor.